Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am anticipating a great lesson because we're still in the book of Job. And you know Job and his cohorts were full of wisdom. And there are so many exciting lessons to be taken from the annals of this book. Now, as I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, tops, your tablets, your Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, if you will, during which time you may ask questions or comment, or even inquire if you like. The host has gracefully set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, as I always like to do, I am personally taking this time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, my special, precious brothers and sisters, I am using. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, as always, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Now, God said through Isaiah the prophet, no weapon formed against thee shall perish, shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in the judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. My precious brothers and sisters, the promise is that you will remain safe and secure if you stay close to the Lord and follow his instructions. This is the heritage of those who serve the Lord. And this is taken from Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. And again, God said through this time, King David, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. My precious brothers and sisters, the promise is great peace. That means not world peace, not man peace, but great peace that only God gives if you would stay close to him through his laws, obeying them. And nothing shall offend you. And it's so concrete to know that is because why would you be offended? You are doing what God is requiring you to do. That in itself puts a circle around you, my precious brothers and sisters. Like Job said, that hedge that goes, that the devil said about Job, that's around Job, and that's the lesson tonight. That's exactly what will keep the offense away from you. And that's taken from Psalms 119, verse 165. And again, God said through Moses this time that it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all of his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above all the nations of the world, of the earth. Excuse me. That's taken from Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 8. So again, the promise is, standing on that promise, that if you obey God's commandments, you're going to be set above. My brothers and sisters, so the question again for this hour, are you standing on God's promises? Now, before we get to the lesson, as I always rehearse for this program, that the Bible is written in code. My precious brothers and sisters, you need to know that the Bible is mysterious. It's written in secrets and parables and prophecies and proverbs and paradoxes, in riddles and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. And that is what we are all about. My brothers and sisters, we're about study and learning together. Okay, now let's go to the study. All right, we're going to go to Job chapter 36. I want you to turn with me to Job chapter 36. And we know that in Job chapter 36, Elihu is the one that is citing Job for his self-righteousness. And we know that Elihu, out of the four that address Job, is the only one that God didn't discipline because of addressing Job in error. And that's what we should understand as we read this particular instruction. The instruction is, God will show you the way, right or wrong. My precious brothers and sisters, God will show you the way, right or wrong. And that is so important to note, is because God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He directs all traffic. God is our impresario. We are the creature. He is the creator. We are the clay. He is the one that molds the clay, the potter. We need to understand that God will show the way, right or wrong. In fact, God will make the way, right or wrong. That is so critical. And this is what Elihu told Job in Job chapter 36, verse 9 through 11. Listen to what Elihu told Job. Verse 36, 9 through 12. This is what Elihu said. Then he showed them their work, meaning God, and their transgressions that they had exceeded. That's God telling and showing. He opened also their ear to discipline and commanded that they return from iniquity. God is telling us through Jesus Christ. Jesus said to Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. God said through Zacchaeus again that I came to save that which was lost. Verse 11 continues, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? Obedience is the key. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. That is critical. So God will show you the way, right or wrong. He will show you the way. We have no excuse. Listen to what verse 15 says, completing the thought. He delivereth the poor in his affliction and openeth their ears in oppression. That is so critical to note, that God, again, in the book of James, it says that God gives the poor, or makes the poor rich in faith. That's because we're not talking about poor financially. We're not necessarily talking about poor physically. We're talking about poor that are lacking what they need for salvation. I see we're at the first break. Let's take that break, then we'll continue with this lesson.
Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Paul says, take a stand, withstand, and then stand in the evil day. And believe me, the battle for your soul begins in your mind. If Satan can control your thoughts, he'll control your destiny. Because I assure you, when Satan sees you walking down the road like this, he will totally destroy you. You can't possibly survive in your own strength. Why are so many Christians decimated right now? Why are they just absolutely falling out? Because they don't have the strength to endure. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord. Say that with me. Be strong in the Lord. That means put on this whole armor. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can get nothing from heaven without faith. Salvation comes by faith. Healing comes by faith. Peace, love, and joy come by faith. You are no match for the prince of darkness. But when you put on the whole armor of God, you are more than a conqueror. You can look the devil in the eye and say, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Get out of my life. Get out of my thoughts. Get out of my marriage. Get out of my home. Get away from my children. Get away from my health. The power and the anointing of God are with me. And I am the conqueror here. Resist. Steadfast in the faith. The translation is fight him and fight him every day. Resist him and resist him every day. James writes, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Take a stand means you refuse to be intimidated by Satan, who comes as a roaring lion, according to 1 Peter 5. In nothing be not terrified by your adversary. In nothing be not terrified by your adversary. The Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. The truth is not something. The truth is someone. That someone is Jesus Christ. And when you know him, you have the truth. And you walk in the truth. And you joy in the truth. And you rejoice with truth that is unspeakable and unshakable. Because Christ is the solid rock, the cornerstone, precious and elect in Zion. He's not trying to be truth. He is the truth. I want to put on the whole armor of God and come out fighting with fresh fire, that I can be counted worthy to be numbered among the New Testament saints.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, the instruction, God will show you the way. We just heard from the commercial that God will show you the way. You put on his full armor, and that is the way that is going to protect you. Now let's go to the reading, or we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and verse 15, just to substantiate what Job was told by Elihu. Listen to what Moses rehearsed to Israel concerning the same. And we mentioned it early on when we mentioned, are you standing on the promise? Because this is the promise. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And verse 15 is the completion of the thought. Listen, good or bad, God is in control. Listen to what God says through Moses to Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I have commanded thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. My precious brothers and sisters, do we have a choice? Blessings or curses? God will show us the way, right or wrong, meaning that he will show us the way to righteousness and salvation, or he'll show us the way to condemnation and hell. That is critical to note. Now let's go to our New Testament complement. We're going to see how it is put in the New Testament so we can compare and agree and connect this dot. Listen to what Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. Listen to what Jesus says. And this is as simple as Deuteronomy chapter 28 put it, meaning you're either going to be blessed or cursed. Listen to what Jesus says. And Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth shall be condemned. My precious brothers and sisters, it may sound that simplistic, but that is the truth that sets you free, and obedience is the key. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me to Job chapter 36. More information coming from Elihu to Job in Job chapter 36, verse 24 through 26. And listen to the instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read to you the text. The instruction is recognize God and be successful. My precious brothers and sisters, that is overwhelmingly critical. The reason I say it's overwhelmingly critical is because we have a lot of professional gods, if you will, that are calling out to us through the people that have been created. You know, you have the Islamic God. We're not talking about the Islamic God. You have the Hindu God. We're not talking about the Hindu God. You have the Buddhist God. We're not talking about the Buddhist God. We're talking about the Christian God. And that is critical to note. We're talking about the God of Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. Listen to what Elihu told Job concerning that in chapter 36, verse 24 through 26. Remember that thou magnify his works, which men behold. Every man may see it. Man may behold it afar off. Behold, God is great, and we know him not. Neither can the number of his years be searched out. My precious brothers and sisters, that is so critical, because if you're reading other than the Holy Bible, you're going to get a lot of misleading information on other gods. And I'll even put that to test. Those of you who are listening out there are reading other scriptures that are not of the Holy Bible, Test them. See if they work for you. As we know that if you, from listening to Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, this is going to give you the way, the truth, the light to get to heaven. And during the interim, it's going to undergird you. It's going to give you what you need to be successful. And you know that you're going to be successful because of what you're receiving from obedience to God. Listen to what Deuteronomy, again, we're going to go back to Deuteronomy. Listen to what Moses rehearsed to Israel concerning this. Back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. This time we're going to look at verse 2 through 8. Listen, my brothers and sisters, this is what's going to be your measure if you obey the God of the Bible. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. My precious brothers and sisters, you don't have to worry about being about receiving. They're going to overtake you. Listen to how they overtake you. Blessed thou shalt be in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. This is what Moses rehearsed to Israel. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. And blessed shall be the fruit of thy ground. And blessed shall be the fruit of thy cattle. Blessed shall be the increase of thy kind. And blessed shall be the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. My precious brothers and sisters, you're going to be receiving benefits. You're going to be receiving promises. You're going to be receiving blessings. And I'm talking about things that will prove to you that you are being guided correctly. And now what we're going to do is we're going to go to the, I see that we're at the second break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with this lesson.
When everything else is crumbling around us, in the darkest hour of your life, God will never fail you. God uses storms to teach us that we need Him every day and every hour of our lives. God teaches us through those storms that He is all-powerful, that He is mighty, and that He alone is in control of planet Earth. Just about the time humanity begins to feel invincible, God cranks up the engines of Mother Earth and shakes us until we feel as helpless as a child. He demonstrates His absolute control of the world and the control of our lives by the storms He sends and the storms He conquers. God uses storms to shake us out of our comfort zone into a position of complete dependence on Him for our survival. In 60 years of ministry, I have listened to stories of heartache, betrayal, honest confession of intentional sin, reckless and foolish choices. I have listened to sobbing voices express the fear of tomorrow, the bitterness that's in their heart, the rejection that they have felt, the unforgiveness, the rage, the abandonment, the lack of self-confidence, the insecurity that can cripple the mind from the failure that they have been through. All of these are storms. Some of you here and many of you watching by television are going through a storm right now. Some of you, it is a make or break kind of storm. The God we serve is the master of wind and waves. He is the chain breaker, and He is the way maker. He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. It is His voice that penetrates the darkness. He is still the light of the world. He is the Lord of glory. He is still the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is still our companion in the valley of the shadow of death. He is our hope. He is our fortress. He is our high tower. He is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He is the sea walker and the blind man healer. He is the champion of death, hell, and the grave. His name is Jesus, the Son of the living God, heaven's hope and hell's dread. Give him praise in the house. Today, we talk about the storm of failure. Read with me from verse 23. And when he had entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds of the sea obey him? Father God, we have come to the house of the Lord today to discover what manner of man is this that controls the universe, and yet we are so reluctant to call upon him in the day of adversity. Our lives have been scarred by storms. We come today now to ask you to say, Peace be still, to every life here and those watching who are in a desolate time of great failure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, recognize God and be successful as the commercial lent that God is the creator of all humanity. And all humanity has been made in his image and likeness. My precious brothers and sisters, all of us are made by the one true God. And that one true God is within us. And that is how you can ensure that you are being guided correctly. If things are not happening in your life the way that you think that it should be happening, and even if it is materialistically, and we're talking about the God of the soul, and even if it's materialistic and you think that there is something wrong, there is. And you can be still and be quiet as Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth teaches you, and you will get the right direction. But you got to be diligent. And as Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth teaches you, that it's impossible to please God without this. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and then he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So my precious brothers and sisters, sit down and be quiet. And don't stir until you get you an answer. And then if you stir and the answer is not correct, then be quiet again, because maybe you misinterpreted what the answer was. And that's because of our vulnerability, because we have the knowledge of good and evil from the inheritance of Adam and Eve. We're going to be misled by our own thoughts. But God will be not mocked. And as long as you're breathing in and out, you can address God and be successful. And this is how the New Testament compares and agrees with what we read in Job chapter 36, verse 24 and through 26. Matthew chapter 5. Go to Matthew chapter 5. This is Jesus speaking. Listen to what Jesus told the crowd at the Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. Listen to what he said. Ye are the salt of the earth. That's all of us, my brothers and sisters. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. And that's what will happen if you're not salty. Again, verse 14 continues, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. My brothers and sisters, you will be a magnet, especially to those who are lacking and without. Verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. My precious brothers and sisters, if you have something to offer which is attractive, and that is the light, then it will attract darkness. It will attract even other light. That is guaranteed, my precious brothers and sisters. Listen to what the scripture more says in verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. My brothers and sisters, that is recognizing God, and you will be successful. Because as we know, that Jesus also said that when your Lord God sees you doing what you're supposed to be doing, especially in the closet, he will reward you openly. And that is guaranteed. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources back to, we're going to look at Job 37 this time. And again, this is Elihu continuing to chastise Job for his self-righteousness. Listen to what Elihu says in Job chapter 37, and we're going to be looking at verse 27 or 14 through 16. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Listen, my precious brothers and sisters, this is what I want you to consider. Consider the works of God. My brothers and sisters, again, we're without excuse. We see what is going on around us. We feel what is going on inside of us. Consider the works of God, because God is in control of all of this. Listen to what Elihu told Job concerning this in verse 14 through 16 in chapter 37. He said, hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wonderful works of God. Remember I said, be still? Does thou know when God disposed them and caused the light of his cloud to shine? Dost thou know the balancing of the clouds, the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge? Again, more in verse 19, he continues to tell Job, teach us what we shall say unto him, for we cannot order our speech by reason of darkness. You cannot talk to the Lord God Almighty unless you are allowed to talk to him. In other words, he is open to all thoughts, and he knows all thoughts. But again, he is not going to receive those that are not related or catering to him. All right? Now, this is what verse 23 continues to say. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. And verse 24 completes the thought. And I looked at, we're at another break. Let's take that break, and then we'll complete this lesson.
You will never succeed more than you fail. That's not how it works. You know why? Because failure is a wonderful teacher. It's the only way to learn. You have to fail. Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player in the world, he took 946 game-winning shots. He has only made 146 of those. He has missed over 700 times, but he has made 146. You know what they write about? When you make it. They write about when you make it. So guess what? When you get to fail and fail and fail and failing, all you got to do is make one. Matter of fact, when you fail, be glad about it. Every time you fail, you're one step closer. Every time you fail, say, whew, got that out the way. Go to the next one. Fail again, okay, I got two out the way. What's going to happen is if you just keep swinging, you're going to get a hit.
Do not fear failure, but please be terrified of regret, as giving up is the birth of regret. You will receive 100 doors slammed in your face. You will have 100 moments that will be filled with someone telling you no. But what I ask of you today is to not take no for an answer. Don't be afraid of no's. Be afraid of the possibility of a yes that you have prematurely destroyed because you decided to quit before the clock strikes 12. I love a good no. Please tell me no. Telling me no is like adding fuel to a fire that is now set ablaze because of your single no. I love additional reasons to work harder. Please give me a reason.
You better go inside. You still looking outside for the stuff that's already inside. You still looking for someone to save you when you already your superhero. You looking for some information from somebody when you already got what you need in your head. It's just time for you to get up and be the best version of you. I challenge you to challenge yourself. I challenge you to stop thinking that where you are is enough. I challenge you to go beyond hurt. I challenge you to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. I challenge you. And the problem with some of you in this room, you will never be great because every time you go through pain, every time you go through a problem, every time you go through discouragement, you give up and you quit and you do not understand that at the end of pain is your million. At the end of pain is your reward. At the end of pain is your productivity. At the end of pain is your promise. So do me a favor, stop crying about it and use your energy to get through it. That's what lions do. And if you are a true lion, it does not make a difference what the circumstance is. Lions don't cry. Lions don't give up. Lions don't quit. Lions hunt. We turn tragedy into triumph. That's what we do for a living.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, considering the works of God, that's what we must focus on, what God intends for us to do. And this is what Elihu told Job in verse 24 of Job chapter 37. He said, men do therefore fear him. He respecteth not any that are wise of heart. My brothers and sisters, the fear of the Lord, the Bible tells us, is the beginning of wisdom. And a good understanding have all those who practice it. We are told in the Bible that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It is written in Scripture that the fear of the Lord setteth itself above all things, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of his love. My brothers and sisters, that is key. We must fear whom is inside of us. And Jesus says it on this wise. Do not fear him that not kill body and soul, but you fear him that can kill body and soul. And God is the only one that can do that. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 32, and we're going to hear how Moses explicitly expressed this. He was under the inspiration of God. Listen to how Moses rehearsed this to Israel. We're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39 through 41. Listen, my brothers and sisters. See now that I, even I am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, and I make alive. I wound, and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. If I wilt my glistening sword and my hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies and will reward them that hate me. My precious brothers and sisters, who's in control? That is God's works, explicitly put by Moses rehearsing it to Israel. Now let's go to Matthew, and we're going to see how the New Testament compares and agrees with what we just said. We're going to turn your hymnals, your Bible sources with me to Matthew chapter 21. We're going to look at verse 21. Or we're going to look at Matthew chapter 21. We're going to look at verse 42 through 46. Listen to what Jesus said about this. Jesus said in verse 42, he said, "Do ye read in? Did ye never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord God's doing, and it is marvelous in my eyes. Therefore, say I unto you," Jesus is talking, "the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation that bring forth the fruits thereof, those who believe on God's works." Listen to what he concluded and said, or concluding he said, "And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whosoever it shall fall, it will be ground to powder." And when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking of them. For when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet. My precious brothers and sisters, if you have work to do, it will not be prevented. If God is working through you to procure some of his, it will be performed. That's the bottom line. As Paul puts it to the Romans, if God is for you, who can be against you? And now we're going to go to John chapter 6, and we're going to get a little more of this understanding from Jesus. We're going to look at John chapter 6, verse 27 through 29. Listen to what Jesus said further. Jesus says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat that endures unto eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath the God seal." So we're looking at the spiritual application of God's work as compared to the physical application of God's work. But the point is that God is in control of all of it. Listen to what verse 28 says. "Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Listen, my brothers and sisters, this is critical for Christians. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." My precious brothers and sisters, belief is a verb transitive. It's an action word. Jesus says, "If you believe me, you will keep my commandments." Jesus said again, "If you hear my words and obey them, the Father God Almighty will love you, and he and I will come and make our abode in you." My precious brothers and sisters, you cannot do anything, basic instructions before leaving earth, that's going to satisfy God. And that is what I'm sharing with you this evening, that it is total and complete, but we must be obedient. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me. We're going to go this time to Job chapter 38, and this is where God actually comes into play and chastises Job for his self-righteousness. All right? We've been listening to Zophar, Bildad, Elihu that incorrectly addressed Job and his self-righteousness, and we listened to Eliphaz, and then we listened to Elihu that correctly addressed God, Job's self-righteousness. Now God is going to proclaim it. And here we're going to listen to what God has to say about this in Job chapter 38, verse 1 through 6. Listen to what this is what the instruction is saying. God reprimands Job, okay? This is God declaring to Job about his self-righteousness. And this is how he starts off, verse 1 through 6. God says, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkened counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, if you think you are all that, for I will determine of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it, if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched out the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? God is beginning to show Job through chastising him that Job is nothing compared to God, and self-righteousness is unacceptable with God. Okay, we're going to go now to a Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to hear what happens to those who use or that God reprimands and shows that there is a way back to God. Listen to what Solomon, King Solomon, rehearsed. I see we're at our last break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the lesson. The break has not ensued. What we'll do is continue with the lesson until the host comes in and breaks. We're turn with me, if you will, your Bible sources to Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 11 and verse 12. Listen to what Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and verse 12 says. My son, despise not the tip.
He must increase, and I must decrease. That's one of the most quoted statements in the entire Bible, and we do it to each other all the time. I've been struggling with this text all week, and I've got some neat things to share with you, and they're not what you think. A number of years ago, I was having lunch with a pastor in another state. He's having serious problems in his church. As he told me about them, I winced, and then he said, not only that, the elders of this church have required that I send my sermons to my predecessor for a critique. And I said, Sam, tell them that you're not doing that. Tell them to hang it on their ear. He said, I can't do that. Jesus wouldn't have me do that. I said, if you don't, you won't be a pastor. And he's not anymore. But as I've studied his text, I thought, oh my. Do you know out of that incident, I wrote a book called No More Mr. Nice Guy. And it's been published all over the world in a lot of different languages. In England, they called it Don't Let Them Sit on You. And they have an elephant on the cover that's sitting on this guy. And I wrote it out of that one incident I just described to you. And as I've studied this text, I thought, oh, spit. Maybe I've been messing with people's minds in the wrong way for a very, very long time. He must increase, and I must decrease. While I was working on this week, I got an email from a former student. And he asked me to pray for him and give him some advice. He said he was working on a sermon and it would only be, he's a youth pastor, said it would only be the second time that he had preached to big people. And then he said, Steve, the last time it was wonderful. Jesus came. Man, I was so pleased with what God did. He said, my problem is I find myself writing this sermon thinking about the last one, and I'm writing for performance instead of the glory of Christ. I told him, duh. I said, welcome to the club of sinners. Jesus has been using selfish, prideful, ego-centered, performance-oriented preachers from the beginning because that's all he's got. It's called clean water through dirty pipes. So deal with it, boy, and go preach. But then I thought about this. Maybe that wasn't a good thing to say. maybe I went a little bit too far and interfered with what the Holy Spirit was doing in that young man's life. He must increase, and I must decrease.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're looking at God reprimands Job. And we already read how God started with his reprimand. And now we're looking at how King Solomon told Israel, in rehearsing this to Israel in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, how to not think that God is not trying to discipline us in his reprimand. He's not trying to destroy us in his reprimand. What he's trying to do is bring us to a repentance and reconciliation of not completely following him the way that he is commanding or demanding, and that we then will prosper. Listen to what Moses told Israel. This is what he said. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, he says, "My son, despise not the chastening or the reprimanding of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Yes, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father the son in whom he delights." So that's something that we must take into consideration, that we are not failures absolutely, until we absolutely fail. If you continue to be reprimanded for the same thing, for instance, stealing, adultery, or fornication, or murder, then that's going to get to the point where God just may destroy you, all right? And reprimand may come to the point where it will be your destruction. The point is that you are supposed to repent after you're reprimanded. You're supposed to change, ask for forgiveness and change, and then you will be renewed with the Lord God Almighty to continue to do his work. Now we're going to go to Revelations, and turn with me to Revelations chapter 3, Revelations chapter 3, and we're going to see how it was put to speaking to the church. Revelations chapter 3, and we're talking about the Spirit speaking to the church. And this is what it says in verse 15 through 19. Revelations chapter 3, verse 15 through 19. Listen to what God says through the Spirit. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Remember what I mentioned with, if you continue to be repetitive in your chastisement and your reprimand, that eventually God is going to not acknowledge you and you may be headed for destruction or damnation. Listen to what verse 17 continues to say. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." My precious brothers and sisters, you have to realize that we're talking about spiritual life everlasting, not physical life everlasting. So you could be rich. You may have enough money to pay for your doctor bills and for your housing and for everything else that is around you. But it's the inside that's important to God, not the outside so much, or the outside is incidental to the inside. Remember what Jesus said, "Labor not." We read it earlier, "for the meat that perisheth, but for the meat that endureth unto eternal and everlasting life." That's key to this, my brothers and sisters. And reprimand is a part of the formula that makes you recognize that this exists. Your wretchedness and your miserableness and being poor in God and blind in God and naked before God. Listen to what verse 18 says. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. My brothers and sisters, this is a part of the chastening process. Listen to how it concludes in verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So that's the key. And that's how we come back to God and be successful with God. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. It'll be the last one for the evening. Turn back with me to Job. We're going to look at Job chapter 38 again. And this is Job being chastised by God, reprimanded by God, and God is giving Job more of an understanding of why he is subordinate to God and that he should listen to God and respond to him. Let's go to verse 24, and we're going to look at verse 24 through 27. Listen to what it says. God is telling Job, by what way is the light parted, which scattereth the east wind upon the earth? Who hath divided a water course for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness wherein there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth? God is continuing to challenge Job. If you are so self-righteous, do this. Verse 36 continues. It says, who hath put wisdom in the inward parts, or who hath given understanding to the heart? And verse 17 completes the thought. Who can number the clouds in wisdom, or who can stay the bottles of heaven? My brothers and sisters, only God. And this is what God is showing to Job. In fact, I forgot to tell you what the instruction is, the hidden knowledge of God. This is only what God knows. We understand in Deuteronomy that Moses also rehearsed to the children of Israel that the secrets of God are with God, and the ones that he has given are revealed to us is for us to be saved. That's key. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 55. My brothers and sisters, Isaiah chapter 55, and we're going to look at verse 8 through 13. Listen to this. This is what God is saying to the prophet that undergirds exactly what we just He told Job. Listen to this. This is what God said in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Listen, my brothers and sisters, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. This is key, my brothers and sisters, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. That is key, that this is God's hidden knowledge. And he is the one that controls. And as long as we're repentant to him, we shall flourish in that which we should do. Okay, that concludes the lesson for this evening. And as we get ready to depart, what I would like to do is tell you in behalf of the host and myself that we appreciate your taking part in this. And we ask you to continue to be blessed and participate whenever you can. Good night.
Right, folks, now here's the word of Well, thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. I hope you are blessed by our program tonight. Please join us every Tuesday night at 9 Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.